All right, howlers, let's get howling. But first, a couple quick warnings. First warning, this podcast contains adult content.
Don't be a pixie.
Second warning, this podcast contains spoilers for the entire Red Rising saga.
So don't be a pixie. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at HowlerPod Official. Email us howlerpod@gmail.com. Go to howlerpod.com and rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then you can't dress up like your favorite Red Rising character for Halloween.
Wow. Tough. And now, HowlerPod.
Ow!
Your podcast for all things Red Rising, where every episode we dive deep to break down, celebrate, and discuss all aspects of the fantastic Red Rising saga by Howler number one, Pierce Brown.
Ow, ow!
I am your host, Ben Reinert. I am joined today, as always, by the amazing Aaron Ayers.
Hello, Howlers.
Aaron, what are we up to today?
First, I want to say, when you said we dive deep, I was like hell divers.
Yeah.
I was like, is that why we say that?
Yeah.
I just figured it out. Episode 116.
Nice.
What are we doing today? Prime 25.
Yes.
Prime time 25. Almost to our top five, but we're within the top 10.
So we are.
It's getting hot and heavy.
Numbers 10 through 6.
I'm quickly only having good guys. Only main characters. How about you?
I do believe my last bad guy is on the list
all
today.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've had some regrets. I was like, man, I should have bumped Apple up higher.
You were too strict with that criteria to start.
I know. Moral compass really screwed over all my baddies.
Do you feel like we need to refresh the howlers on how we're coming up with these lists?
I don't think so. I mean, if you've made it this far, good for you.
Okay, yeah.
Mostly vibes. Have you made your own list?
Aaron had some criteria.
You know.
That she's now chucked out the window.
Who knows what happened? I do know, though, who's in my top five.
Okay.
So, like last week, I didn't know who was in my top 10. So,
okay.
It was exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad we'll all find out together then.
Yeah, are you sad it's coming to an end?
No, I think it's been really fun. Great. And I'm excited for the conversations ahead. I think the top 10 is going to be
great.
Quite controversial.
And a lot more moments in these.
Yes.
You know, more some popular folk at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start?
Wow. Okay.
Number 10.
My number 10 I think might make some people mad.
Oh no.
Cuz it's Severo.
Wow.
Not in my top five.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not expect that.
So
that's pretty low for a howler.
I mean, I love Severo.
Do you though?
He's just not my favorite.
He's most people's favorite. I feel like you don't like to like what everyone likes. You like to go your own way.
I am a little bit of a go my own way type. I'm also kind of like, I don't know. There's several pieces of Severo that just turn me off. As a human,
like his nastiness, like his toenails, and
well, yeah, the general hygiene part is tough,
yeah,
and then also just like his overall nastiness. I'm not quite down to that level.
He's always like ribbing and
being
nasty,
yeah, he's just kind of mean,
yeah. You didn't grow up with brothers like picking on you, you don't like that stuff.
I mean, I like to be the picker honor, you know,
because you're a brother.
So I don't know, just like he's just not as appealing to me as he is to others. I see the appeal,
yes,
and recognize the appeal.
He's very lovable, but he can be immature and emotional and,
right, and just like quick to judgment, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, very
not
violent,
not quick to forgive.
Yes. Yeah, so more kind of an emotional being.
Sure.
Where I kind of land more logical.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I don't jive with Severo.
You're still going to get shanked in your sleep.
He would call me, you know, all sorts of names for that description and would not care at all about what I think. So that's what makes him great.
Great.
Yes. So yeah, I think that's why I don't jive as much. And he's kind of lower on my list. Love Severo. I think he's great. He's a great character for this story. I would say I love first trilogy Severo a lot more than second trilogy Severo.
Yeah.
Who I feel like is kind of a bitch.
He's a little dark too.
Yeah. He's just kind of a bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
although he is fun in Lightbringer.
He's getting more fun.
Traps.
I would say. Yeah.
When he's captured.
He is amusing. Yeah. So let's get to favorite moment, favorite quote. I think I'm going to go favorite moment, the what do we do with murderers scene where he saves Cassius's life.
He backflips into it, hanging himself.
It's a beautiful moment.
Pretty badass.
I mean, very emotional moment. One of the biggest moments of the entire first trilogy, I think. Pivotal. The whole ship is going crazy because Uncle Narrel just got shot.
Yes.
And they're out for blood. And Seffy's like leading them
off. And the Obsidians are like, let's kill them all.
And so they want to kill Cassius. And then Severo steps up to the front and, you know, puts a noose around his own neck and says, well, I'm a murderer. So what do we do with murderers? We kill them. And, you know, he jumps off, does like a gainer and hits the end of the noose. And everybody's like, whoa.
Yeah. And then they're like,
maybe this is not
what we
thought. It was, yeah. So he just shows
it's kind of like Severo's, it's like the moment with Darrow and Ragnar where he's like kneels down.
Yes.
You know,
I think
like
that's a great comparison.
And
it's, showing that he's capable of change.
Well, it's like putting your faith in the Obsidian to make the choice to not act in violence.
Right. But like showing them the way, you know, like if this Severo, whose father was killed and decapitated by Cassius, can basically like stand up for him and forgive him
and
in
hang
a
next
way
to him.
Yeah. And he says, I'm just as bad as he is, then it makes everybody stop and think for a second about what they're doing and that it stops this mob.
Maybe
like,
we should all stop killing each other.
Yeah. So we got to be different if we're going to do something better down the line. We got to be different than the old ways. And I love that about Severo. He's always good about showing up in those like very difficult moments.
Mm-hmm.
He's just kind of a bitch sometimes. And so that gets on my nerves.
Sometimes he needs to wrestle his best friend.
My favorite quote from him, and I just read this because I just finished reading Golden Sun in the last couple weeks. He's talking to Victra and everybody is like questioning Victra's allegiance. This is early on, or like kind of in the middle of Golden Sun, and Victor's mom is on the side of the Sovereign, and so everybody's like sitting around in a council questioning Victra basically, and she says like, you're nasty to Severo, and then he says, I'm gold, bitch, what did you expect, warm milk and cookies just because I'm pocket sized. That's a really good line. And I love that he says that to his future wife.
Severo has like a million good
lines.
He's
so mean to her when they first meet.
Because he likes her.
Yeah. I don't even think he knows he likes her yet.
No, but I think he does. how
he's
else
like sad about
expect,
Quinn at this time. So
how else though do you expect Severo to act towards someone he likes?
Yeah.
Like, of course he's going to be.
He's like very much.
Schoolyard boy.
Yeah. The type of person, if he's sad, he's like lashing out, which I have a hard time dealing with. Another reason that's like why he's not so appealing to me.
You're supposed to be talking about why you like Severo right now.
Well, I'm just trying to explain why he's 10, because I'm sure people are going to get mad at me about
that. How do you see Severo as like a best friend or brother figure to Darrow?
A complete necessity. Like, he has to have him. The moment in Golden Sun where they have like the heart to heart and Darrow comes clean with him is one of the most beautiful moments in the whole series. I love that moment. I almost chose that one today too as my favorite. So I don't know, just the way he helps Darrow and how his loyalty to Darrow, I admire a ton.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So I think that's what carries him through ultimately at the end. And like, even when like Cassius is dead at the end of Lightbringer, like Severo is still kind of like, he decides to finally stop being an asshole at that point because he knows like even that's too far for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he loves Darrow so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's your number 10? Nice.
Number 10, you already have him. It's Big Daddy Kavix.
Okay. Nice.
And I love Kavix for two reasons. And they're like, you know, separated. I love when he's like being like an eccentric gold where he's like magic and the carrying the fox around. Yeah. And he's like perfidy, you know, he's like you kind of like a he's using his like money and status as a gold to be like a crazy uncle basically.
Right.
But then my more favorite moments are when he's a father figure to like everyone around him. And so I picked those moments today, but I also love the silly ones and the jelly beans, of course. So I put favorite moment is a little indirect, but he's talking to Darrow in Morningstar about how he used to read stories to Virginia. And he's saying, basically, I didn't read her stories of conquerors. I read her stories of protecting the weak. And mm-hmm. then Darrow's reflecting like, you know, that's what Virginia's doing. That's why she didn't shoot me in the mine. That's why, you know, she's helping us.
So glad you chose that because I almost picked the same one
last week or yeah. whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's like the guiding light for Virginia when she's a young girl, mm-hmm. when she has these like really terrible parents.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. He's the father figure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a favorite moment that we didn't really see, but in the past. And then in line with favorite moment quote, this is, he gives Big Dad vibes. This is again to Virginia. Obviously, you did the quote to Daxo, but daughter, I almost did a Daxo. Daughter. Daughter, you are my heart. I trust you like I trust the vaulting sky. I look up and there it is. Different shades perhaps, but always there, always true.
Beautiful.
So he really knows how to come in and lift Virginia up when she's at her lowest and most horribly depressed and beaten down. And,
yeah.
you know, sometimes you need a dad to tell you you're the son.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kavix.
My number 9.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, I just didn't know if you had anything left on Kavix.
Cut. I was like, who is it? Okay, next. Number 9.
My number 9 is Lysander Alun.
All right.
Here we go. So
I was like, he better not be top 5. He's still above Severo, though. Dude, you're getting fucking hate mail.
We're talking about most prime characters. I think Lysander is an incredible book character.
I do too. Yes.
One of the most fun.
I think some people might have him in their top 5. Which,
I'm sure.
You know.
Yeah. Zeph, we're looking at you. One of the most fun book characters ever to hate.
Yeah, sure.
Just like so much fun to hate this guy.
Yeah, so easy.
And that's just a great sign of like great writing and a great character. And you see, like, you understand what his motivations are very well. And there's shades of him that you admire at times. And
are there?
There's
yep.
big pieces of him that you hate and are like, that's why you hate him so much, I feel like, because there are things in him.
He's like so close
yes.
to doing the right things.
There's things in him where you're like, that is good. But then he twists it and kills it and makes it into this like terrible, poisoned, yeah. horrible thing.
Yeah. And then keeps getting worse.
Yes. And then now has like, yeah, turned into kind of a genocidal maniac. But
kill them all.
It's like, but I don't know. I admire that so much. So Lysander, my favorite moment. I think this was just a great moment from Lightbringer, despite just because like it's baddie on baddie. So like,
you mean him and Adelantia?
Yeah, but it's the speech where he's like,
not the sex yeah. part.
Yeah, not the sex part. No. This was after that part, okay. you know, and we
see baddie on baddie.
Yeah. He's got everybody chanting Mars must fall. You know, where have all the shepherds gone this moment? Like, it's a good speech.
I hate him so much. Okay.
And he plays his cards well and like trumps Adelantia, outmaneuvers her. I think it's cool. It was like he almost had me on board. We're like, yeah, Mars must fall. Like, let's go. So I thought that was my favorite moment because like everything else kind of sucks from him. He's pretty disappointing most of the time.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to cheat a little bit, unquote, because I don't want to use like a direct quote from him, but more this is just his narration.
Okay.
And I love the way, and more so this is more like a shout out just to Pierce's writing.
Great.
But like the way that Lysander sees Darrow is probably my favorite, just like all his descriptions of Darrow and like the way he thinks about him and his legacy and all this stuff. Like that's the, I mean, those are some of my favorite parts to read, like seeing Darrow through Lysander's eyes. And this is during the final battle in Dark Age. And he says, then I spot the signs of his, he's talking about Darrow. Then I spot the signs of his advance from the far side of the Triumphia. It is like the coming of a tiger through tall grass. First a rippling in the distance that seems like the wind, then a tunneling force, an outward swaying of riders, the starting of the horses, men disappear from saddles, sunbloods collapse sideways with horrible wounds, and then, like the tiger's tail, the curved sling blade rises above the stalks as he threshes all in his path.
I feel like Lysander is in love with Darrow.
I mean, to a degree, for sure. He wants to be him.
I mean, doesn't that suck to be like, you know, the child of the, or the grandchild of the sovereign, and then like you're not actually the hero of your own story.
But he's like creating this whole narrative for himself so that he can be the hero. Yeah. It's like the most delusional, like crazy thing about him.
Right.
Is that he wants to be Darrow so bad, and he's like taking all the steps, like I've got to make this myth for myself, and like he understands the big picture so well because he's so smart and like so studied and knows all the history, like,
and he's got the lineage,
he's pulling all the levers and pressing all the buttons in the right way, and it's all so calculated. And it's like, dude, that's why you suck so much.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because you want it so
bad. We see that, and it's just like it reads desperation and fakeness, and just like,
and like maybe no one actually loved you enough.
Yes,
like maybe you were abused as a child. We can forgive something.
So he does have a lot of good quotes, but I didn't want to use them because they're all pretty evil. So
yeah,
I kind of like, I just like, we've talked about this before back in the light, but in like our Dark Age pods and stuff. But I just love seeing things through Lysander's eyes because he's such a good kind of like I don't know, he's just like a good descriptive person, and like I like the way he weaves all of the historical context together, and just like makes he's a myth maker himself, so it's just, it's good. So that's why I picked that quote.
Great.
Yep.
Really, you just like Pierce.
Yeah, I was like, shout out Pierce.
I mean, all
honestly,
all of these characters. Great quote by Pierce. Okay, my number nine. You've also already done. You already took all of my 10 through 6. It's Volga. She cute. And I was thinking back to when she cute more than when she not cute.
Yeah. She definitely would have been in my top 10 if not for the whole Lightbringer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole kind of being brainwashed after she had planned to go not be brainwashed. That was great.
It was tough.
So Volga, favorite moment when she's being cute in Iron Gold. Obviously, it's kind of like all those moments, but when she's talking about the zoo and like the kids, but she goes on Wednesdays for discounted tickets. Yeah. When she's like lifting up heavy,
a thrifty queen.
Thrift queen.
Yeah.
I like when she's like holding something heavy for like too long to be like, look at me, I'm strong. And Ephraim's like, fucking set it down. And then she's like banging her head in the shop because she's, you know, big. And I don't know. All those times in Iron Gold.
Those kind of like awkward.
When you're like
moments.
Just in love with this obsidian.
She's just being cute.
And then Ben stole my favorite quote is what I wrote down. So second best. This is when Volga's like leaving to go infiltrate Fa's army. And Larry is like, don't go. And she's like trying to push her onto the shuttle. Volga says to Lyria, thank you for helping me. I have never had a friend so small be so big.
That's a good one. Good job.
Aw. Friendship.
They're just so great together. I want them to. Yeah. We better get more Volga Lyria this time around.
They're reunited.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hopefully they're. Yeah. I would assume we're going to get that. So.
But they've had some.
There's some tension.
Some
now.
Tension. Yeah. Where she was like, you were about to kill me, right? All right, Ocho.
All right, this is a really fun one. Apollonius, my number 8.
I already did it.
And this is my last villain.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. This week I was like, man, I wish I would have saved Apple. But it was hard to kick anyone out.
And it's so hard to pick a favorite Apple moment. Do you remember what you picked?
I picked when he's like naked playing the violin.
Yes. Okay, the intro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that's what you picked. And so I was like, I'm going to find a different moment. So I think hunting Virginia on Phobos and just the found you.
Lionheart.
It's just so fun and playful.
Yeah.
And like...
He's also like scary.
This is in the middle of a giant space war and this dude's just like, insane, having like the best time of his life. Yeah. Just looking up quotes today was so much fun.
Yes.
And
great quotes.
Yeah.
You had two good quotable with Severo and Apple.
Right.
Another good moment is when he saves Darrow.
Yeah.
You know, when he's got the bomb.
I almost picked that. And then there's a great line about them being like, I don't know, like fighting angels or something like that. Like fighting devils together or something. I don't know. It was really good. But I did for a favorite quote. This is kind of like, I think after they've broken Apollonius out and they're like hanging out in the cafeteria or something like that, mm-hmm. and telling him what's up. And then he's like, you know, Apple was like, he was like a formidable warrior before he went to Deep Grave, but he like remade himself down
there.
Yeah,
he's jacked.
Yes. And so I love this quote where he's talking about how he like broke himself down and like built himself back up while he was down there.
He's like a crazy roid rage guy. Yes. Gym bro.
And he says, I dissected the underlying mistakes which led to my incarceration and set upon an internal odyssey to remake myself. But... and you would know this, Reaper, long is the road up out of hell. I made arrangements for supplies. I toiled 20 hours a day. I reread the books of youth with the gravity of age. I perfected my body, my mind. Planks were replaced. New banks of cannon rot in the fires of solitude, all for the next storm. Now I see it is upon me. Now I see it is upon me. And I sail before you, the paragon of Apollonius Alvaliae Wrath, and I ask one question. For what purpose have you pulled me from the deep?
Severo's like, shut the fuck up.
It's like, what did you say? Like, what are you fucking talking about?
He loves to talk.
Oh, yeah. I just could, like, give him more monologues.
Yeah,
like, all the monologues for Apollonius. If he dies... in Red God, which I'm assuming he will.
He's got a big monologue.
But just give us the most epic. I want like a 3-page monologue from him.
Even though Donut says no monologue.
Yeah. Apollonius is the only one that can monologue. Yeah. And he deserves it. He deserves the time. So shout out Apollonius. Just one of my favorite characters of all time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to shit he's fucking up in Red God.
I'm almost thinking like I should have him higher at this point.
we can start over. Start from the bottom again. Okay. My number 8. I think all but one you've already done. So we flipped some. So I had to keep a Mooney high. I love the Moonies. This is about as high as I could get one though. And it's Diomedes.
Okay.
I think I have a crush on Diomedes.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
I think, like, you know, out of my top 10, if I were, like, to pick someone to go on a date with, might be Volga or Diomedes.
Yeah.
Like, old Volga.
Right.
Not
not brainwashed Volga.
Rip my heart out Volga.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Diomedes is badass. I'm really looking forward to now that we saw him come back together with Aure. I can't fucking say her name. I'm looking forward to seeing him maybe duel Lysander, fuck shit up for Lysander. I don't know how that's going to work out.
What if Lysander shoots Diomedes? Like,
we can't do that again.
I would just be upset.
And I think Diomedes truly believes in like gold needing to like make amends for like not being the shepherds.
Yeah.
That I think he, even if he disagrees with the Republic, he'll still do the right thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
He is still a space racist in the best sense.
Yeah, like in the weird...
It's like he still believes in the hierarchy and in separation and in colors, but he like...
I think he's wants what's best for everyone. He's open to change at this point.
And he also loves a pink, so...
You right, know, yeah.
It's a little. That's a little hypocritical of him.
I don't think he's like, we need the hierarchy. I think he's like... The hierarchy was good if we did it right.
But it didn't
but
work.
But we didn't, it didn't work. Yeah.
So that goes along with my favorite moments and quotes are all with Diomedes like saying, you know, gold has failed. He wants to keep the gold shepherds alive. He tells his grandma multiple times, like, sorry, grandma, you're a space racist.
Yeah.
And he's like... We failed, so we have to make up for it. And she obviously disagrees.
He's got the razor around his neck and he's telling his grandma to choke me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like...
It's definitely not kinky at all.
I mean, Gaia lost her obsidian, didn't she? He kind of ran off after he lost his hand, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming he probably died.
Blood out.
Yeah.
And then the quote is at his trial with the daughters when... He's kind of explaining everything I just said, but civilization is based on exchange and social contracts. I was taught that the low colors exchange liberty for security and stability. We have failed to provide security. We have failed to provide stability. We have failed you. The contract is broken. Take your due.
That's the type of man he is.
Even though one of his other quotes was, it's kind of funny when he's like, one thing I learned from my father is like to keep it short, basically.
Yeah.
Like, don't monologue, basically.
Yeah. Save your breath.
Save your breath. Don't talk too much. But.
I mean, this is pretty straight to the point.
Yeah. That's kind of who Diomedes' character is in the story.
This man's, he's
his
accountable.
His motivations.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's badass, so. I'm looking forward to Red God.
I think we already mentioned it, but I want to see him in action.
Action. I think he'll probably die, but I want it to be, you know, killing someone we don't like. Lysander.
Yeah, I wonder if Pierce will make like a new badass baddie for like Diomedes to like go one-on-one with. Or...
I mean, there's still a few left.
Not many, to be honest. I mean, just like Apple, but you think Apple's like... That's got to be
Darrow. Oh, my God.
Darrow.
If Apple and Diomedes were going at it, I don't know who I would vote for. That'd be tough. That's a win-win for me. Whoever wins that one, I'm happy.
Apple and Darrow need to go at it again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Darrow's got the will away, so.
Well, no. He's got the breath of stone.
Breath of stone. Sorry.
His will away got broken. Yeah.
Yes. The breath of stone.
Yeah.
We need a shirt that's like a stone breathing. It's very meta and
with
only
gills or something.
Yes.
Okay.
What's your seven?
My number seven is Lyria.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. I fucking love Lyria and I don't care what anybody says.
I know. It's funny. My number seven is someone you hate on. And I always hate on Lyria. So I feel
like Lyria gets a lot of undue hate from fandom as a whole.
I think it's the beginning of Iron Gold, it's like not a good kickoff. Obviously, her whole family's getting murdered. But like, it kind of feels like whiny compared.
Whiny? I'm whining about my family getting murdered. Okay.
Just compared to like.
No, I know what you're saying. And I kind of agree. It was tough.
You know.
To meet her like that.
Yeah.
And she's talking a lot of shit.
She really has to grow on you.
She's talking a lot of shit on Darrow to start. So you're like, who the fuck is this bitch?
You're like, Darrow is my daddy. Everyone's my daddy.
Yeah. But I love her. So my favorite moment is her breaking Victor and Volga out of the Red Hand facility.
Cracking her tooth.
Yeah.
Acid tooth.
Just that whole sequence.
She gets so James Bond.
Yeah. The sneak in, the way she kind of like gets herself in, the acid tooth, the like starting the uprising and like getting all the girls on board, the fucking up the rat chick.
Yeah. At that point, she's just like, I've had enough. Yeah.
How much she antagonizes Harmony.
Yeah.
And then them killing Harmony. It's just like the whole thing is her getting Victor out and then Victor just going nuts. So cool. I love that whole sequence. It's harrowing and like very dark. But when it's over, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We did it.
And then we
like
have
the
that.
Red Hand is probably like, I don't know. They're like as bad as like the most depraved gold. So they're very bad people.
Almost worse because you're like, these are your own people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah I hate the Red Hand.
They're very bad.
And so, especially Harmony. You're like,
oh, she's just the most despicable.
The worst
villain.
Turncoat of all time.
So that sequence is very, very good. And especially like how fucking tough that whole thing starts with, you know, because it basically starts with Ulysses.
A baby getting nailed to a tree.
Yeah. And so to
go from there. We lost a lot of fans on that one.
Yeah. To where we're at the end of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we can kind of be fist pumping and like we did it at the end of that. That's pretty good stuff.
We get Victra walking into the ocean.
Yep.
Pity them.
Yeah. And then my favorite quote is when she's talking to Mateo and she's making the decision on whether she's going to keep the parasite / psyche thing.
Yeah, bad decision. I'm just kidding.
Which I know everybody's so mad about.
It's just me.
There's a lot of people online mad about it too.
We just want all the assets we can get to like win this fucking war.
And I get it. It's cool. Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like it.
It's also like Superman getting all your powers and then you're like, no one can beat you.
And I just feel like it makes so much sense for her character and like.
To say no.
Yes, I think it's a great development for her, and I just think people are wrong that she like that Pierce was like he wrote this out or whatever. Like, I do think it's like it's a beat, it's a character beat for Lyria that allows her to be like to grow, but also like shows who she truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I feel like if you're like she has to have that to be a badass. And this sucks and Pierce, you know, made a plot hole or whatever. I don't know. I just like, I feel like you're misunderstanding Lyria and her purpose in the story. My opinion. So.
I disagree. I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's fine.
I see it both ways, but I
think it would be cool either way.
I personally want Figment and I don't need my memories.
Yeah.
I also don't even have memories anyway. So.
Right.
Might as well.
I mean, I get it. Like, I think the Figment thing was cool, too. It was fun.
Figmentum.
While it lasted. But I think, like, I'm totally okay with it going away, and I'm not like, I need that back. And it's still in her head, you know, like.
I'm cool with whatever Pierce wants me to be cool with.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think we
I'm
know.
Along for
and,
the
like,
ride.
I know a lot of people still speculate that it's in her head. It's confirmed that it's not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It got
Pierce
smushed.
Confirmed it. So, the quote. With all that being said, the quote is, Mateo asks her, how will you help your friend without it? And she says, I don't know, but I'd rather die than forget my sister, my pa, my mom, my brothers. They already died once. If I don't remember them, no one will. Then they'll all be gone. Like they never mattered. But I know that's not true. They mattered.
It's a good argument.
That's good shit right there. Like, and that's who Lyria is.
Yeah.
She doesn't give a shit about having superpowers. She's like, I can get it done without it. And she does.
Yeah.
So.
With a little help from Dead Horse Crew.
Just let's give her a little credit. She's very capable.
What are they hiding in? Without. The big fish.
Yeah.
What was it?
And I hope someone like her or like Rona is the person that ends Lysander.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I want a red to do it.
Ooh, Rona jumps into her Drakenjäger. And she's like,
smushes him.
Who thinks my bolts are gross now?
I would love for like a little team up with the two of them. That'd be spicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All
right.
I still don't know if Rona's part of the story. We don't know.
Number seven.
Yeah. Holiday. T.
Ooh,
Nakamura.
Here we go.
I know you have mixed feelings about Holiday, but I almost put Holiday even higher. But the problem is there's too many good people left.
I mean, you've been standing Holiday since day one.
I stand Holiday.
Yeah.
She's a badass. She's like part bionic. She's got metal eye and legs.
Yeah,
and
she's not got like
she's
metal.
She's sharpshooter, and I think that's cool. And I think Holiday would be a great friend to have on your team.
She's got your six.
Always got your back. My favorite moment. Well, just all of them. She's a badass. She's a dragoon. She's super loyal to both Darrow and Mustang. That's what I wrote down. I like when she tracks Ephraim down and after Ephraim takes the kids and she kind of like surprises him on that shuttle or ship he's taking to get away and shows her like spy skills and then also their banter back and forth. You know, he's like, I've got a gun. She's like, I've got obsidian in the cargo hold or whatever. And then, quote, There's a few good ones. I also like when Ephraim and her are in the bar, like reminiscing. I think it's good character building for her. You know, she's lived a tough life. She's a, you know, enlisted gray and she's been fighting. And, you know, at one point she reminisces about like growing up with cornfields. And I was like, that's like us.
Yeah. So out here in the Midwest.
Yeah, more wheat than corn.
Yeah.
Anyways. In Morningstar, my favorite quote, Holiday and Darrow share a coffee and she's like, here's a coffee, but it's whiskey. And he's like, it's whiskey. And she's like, you catch on fast. And this is like right after he's rescued, right before Uncle Narrow gets shot. So that's kind of the in between. They kind of have a heart to heart. And she says, I want you to know you're doing good. I know you didn't ask and I'm just a grunt, but you are. So I think, you know, she's lifting Darrow up.
Yeah. That's a point in the loyal column too there.
How about how she fucking rescued him? Why would she rescue him if she wasn't?
I think there's a lot of like little foreshadowing and hints in Lightbringer and maybe one of the other books, Dark Age, that she might be the next sovereign after Mustang. You know, she like Mustang definitely hints at
her. Mustang's like, trying to like put her in a toga and
hints at her doing political career later on.
I didn't see that as her being sovereign. I saw it being one of the senators.
Or like a senator, yeah.
Well, we just lost all of them, most of them. So, I don't know. Maybe we're going to do away with senators in the next round. Okay, what's your six?
Number six, Ephraim. Okay. So he's been on your list already.
I know, and I fucked up. He should have been higher, but like, we just didn't have him for that long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
You know?
Only, he's like a Ragnar, book and a half type guy.
I want like everyone to be top five.
Yeah.
All my favorites.
He's like a book and three quarters, really, but.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, like, you picked a great favorite moment. Obviously, the mop scene is fantastic. Like.
It's fun.
Yeah. So, I mean,
drugs.
That, I would say that's my favorite scene, but. My second favorite scene probably with him is, I don't know, it's so hard. I was really torn between rescuing Pax and Electra. And then I really like his escape from Julian's room at Eagle's Nest where he's like, he met Osgard and then he escapes out the window and Valdir tracks him down.
Okay.
And did you know that's Julian's room?
No.
Yeah.
That's what held me up.
Okay.
I'm tracking now. I was like, what do you mean Julian's room? Whoa.
Osgard makes a reference to
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. I was rereading it. I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Poor Julian.
Yeah. So.
So it's when Valdir comes with the griffin.
So like kind of the conversation with Osgard to start. And then, yeah, he escapes. And then I just love him mouthing off to Valdir.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's just like hilarious.
He's just way too confident.
Yes.
It's like he wants to die, and he's just really trying hard to have someone kill him.
He escapes out these windows and like almost kind of escapes.
Yeah.
With pink slippers on and stuff. It's just so funny. I don't know. It's good stuff. It's just like pure Ephraim for me, and like extremely competent, but at the same time, just like a total mess.
Yeah.
I love him. And then my quote, honorable mention quote, and this is not actual quote that he says, but he's saying it to himself while he's on the mushies and freaking out with the mop.
God's
he said,
breath.
You know, keep the eyes moving. Stay lucid, old boy. Stay atop the high. You love drugs. You love drugs.
Like, don't freak out. You like this, remember?
And, you know.
That's funny.
Not incriminating myself, but been there, brother. So
that sounded pretty incriminating.
I just really thought that was hilarious, but that's not my favorite.
You
quote.
Love Chuck. that whole scene was so fun.
Yes,
and funny. Yeah.
So my actual favorite quote is him and Volga. I love the father daughter stuff.
Yeah,
it just hits me right in the heartstrings so much. They're talking about Aeta, the obsidian word for tribe, and it's like means more than family.
Okay.
And, you know, like something beyond family. And yes.
Fast and Furious.
And he says, "You're my tribe, Snowball."
Cute.
To Volga. And I'm just like, that's just.
You're my tribe, Snowball.
Yeah.
That
it makes
cute.
Me so happy.
I forgot about that one. I need to do...
But very sad at the same time. Because he walks to his death shortly after that.
Worthy.
Yep.
Okay, now everyone's going to come at me for my six. Especially you.
That's okay.
Don't come at me, bro.
I'm not coming at you.
It's
Everyone's
Cassius.
Entitled to their own list.
I put Cassius.
That's okay. Tell me why.
Part of it is because you love him so much.
That's fair.
It kind of like takes away my right. ability... Like,
it's my
you're
thing.
Sucking it all
yeah.
out of the room.
Right.
So that's fine. You can have it. Also, I love Cassius, but I maybe loved these others more that I put above him.
That's very fair.
It's tough. I don't know. Top 10, I'm kind of, I don't know, top 20.
We're really splitting hairs here at this point.
I love them all.
Yeah.
I don't have favorites. A mother loves all her children. So creepy. So Cassius, there's so many great moments. I didn't want to maybe steal one of your favorite moments, so I picked I love all the like brother moments with Darrow, and even like tumultuous brother moments with Severo sometimes.
Yeah,
but when Darrow and him are on Roke's ship and they are looking at the old hollows of the Institute, and it kind of starts that like healing again and brings up the brother moments. I like that with Cassius, we can always go back to that innocence before he knew Darrow had to kill Julian.
Right.
Snowball effect of that. So yeah, the tender moments with Cassius and just him being handsome, bouncing his curls. Yeah. Oh, the jaw.
Yeah, the jawline.
Yeah, that's your favorite moment.
I can't give it away.
You love the jaw stuff.
We'll see if he's in my top. We'll see if he's in my top five.
I
or
don't
not.
Like really the jaw stuff. Doesn't get me. It's more the
oh,
overall.
I was just thinking that it was funny when
yeah.
he points to his.
If I had
jawline.
A strong jaw,
square jaw.
It's close.
Well, that was pretty close. You had the right tone on the singing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Favorite quote, I'm leaving you the best quote, but it's, I do believe I am the lightning and you, my brooding friend, are the thunder. And then also, brooding again.
Brooding again.
Brooding again.
Just a great moment.
He's lovable.
He is. He really is. We'll see if he's in my top five. I don't know.
That'd be so crazy. I bet he's your number one.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? We'll have to tune in and see.
Tune in next week to find out if Cassius is definitely Ben's number one. Look at the little corner you're sitting in. He's like an angel on your shoulder.
All right, Howler mailbag time. We have a voicemail that I think we wanted to listen to.
Play it.
Hey, Ben and Eric. It's Jack. I'm probably your guys' biggest fan. I don't know who else is your fan, but they're not bigger than me. Huge fan of Howler Pod. You guys are fucking awesome. I love everything you guys do. And you guys need to come back. I can't wait for you guys to come back for Red God, whenever you're going to come back, before Red God comes out, hopefully soon. But I just wanted to call in and say how much I love you guys. And I was re-listening to the Dark Age podcast, and I'm doing my due diligence and drunk dialing the shit out of you. And I want to know, who is your guys' favorite villain in the Red Rising series? We talk so much about the heroes, but I want to know which villain makes this shit for you. Because Darrow's fucking awesome, Virginia's awesome, Victor's awesome, Sever's awesome. But what villain makes this shit so good for you? I want to know. And I can't wait to hear from y'all. I can't wait to bring back Howler Pod. I can't wait for it. And hope you guys are doing well. I'm the Severe Lupus. Ow!
Jack.
Nice, Jack.
Jack, I've got great news for you.
We love a drunk voicemail.
We're back.
We're back, Jack. Jackety, Jack. Don't talk back. Howler Pod's back. Jackety, Jack.
That was so nice, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. We love you, Jack.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Jack's biggest fan.
I know. And I feel like the challenge has been laid down.
Drunk voicemails.
And do we have a bigger fan than Jack? I don't know.
Crickets.
We'll have to see.
Okay.
Who's your favorite villain in the series? Do you have any villains in your top five?
It's Apple is my favorite villain. Okay. The scariest villain? I know that wasn't the question, but it's got to be Atlas.
Right.
Ugh.
I know. It's hard for me to be like, Apple is my favorite villain because
you kind of like him.
I kind of love him, you know.
That was easier. He's definitely a villain. You can't argue that he's he's never gonna be a good guy.
He's over on this other shelf though,
but we're excusing a lot of terrible shit. Yeah. Like his sex slaves and
he's a bad guy.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite villain. I would agree with you though. Atlas, most diabolical, scary villain.
I wouldn't want to fight him.
And then
him.
Lysander, like we said, the one that's easiest to hate. So it's like, there's a good triumvirate of those.
Yeah.
And then like...
I mean, Atalantia is badass. She's wrecking a lot of shit.
What about the Jackal?
Ooh.
The Jackal was like...
Jackal was...
He was Atlas levels of scary in the first trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he like never knew what he was up to.
100.
And you always felt 100. Like... that was great. You always felt like he was like 8 steps ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
Which sucked. Especially when it's like... Darrow's usually that guy. But he was always getting kind of like...
Yeah, Darrow lucks out a lot.
Outmaneuvered by Jackal until the very end there.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I think we answered it today. Apollonius.
Favorite.
Yeah. We love the nudity. I mean, it's just like...
Musical talent. Great at writing speeches on the fly.
Right. Yeah.
Improv.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Jack. We love you.
If you would like to send in a voicemail, call the number 1-800-516-1540.
You are such a 90s kid because you can memorize phone numbers.
We're still looking for a jingle. Let me remind you all.
1-800-516-1540. I forgot the number already.
All right, Aaron, you know what it's time for?
What are we into this week?
Aaron, what are you into?
I'm into a movie that we saw. We've been good.
I didn't see this one.
You didn't go to this movie? I thought all the movies I saw were with you. Who is with me? Anyways, it's called The Life of Chuck. You haven't seen it?
No.
It's really good.
It's a Stephen King short story, I believe.
Yeah, and I was worried it'd be scary because I'm a scaredy cat. And but it's more like suspenseful sci-fi. Anyways, it was really good. I think about it a lot. I would go see it again. Let's go.
Wow. I think it's on. I think I might be able to get it at home now.
Oh, did it come out? Okay. Yeah. You really weren't there. Was no. I alone? I was just like, hey, Ben.
I was not there. No.
Okay. No, it was really good. I would highly recommend it. I also have a gigantic crush on Tom Hiddleston. So.
What's it about? Give me like a little.
It's, there's like three, like short, I think it's three short stories, and each has like act one, act two, act three. And I'm trying not to spoil things, but throughout it, there's like this guy in each story, but you don't really know what it means. And it's very like suspenseful. And then it like cuts to black, and then like a whole new act starts.
Well, and the guy that's in all of them is Chuck.
Yes.
And that's Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
Okay.
Life of Chuck.
I see.
And it's kind of the moral of the story is kind of like the impact one life has on like the world.
Sounds intriguing.
It's very good.
Yeah.
And it leaves you in like a good space. It's not like normal Stephen King. Yeah.
He can do that. He's capable of doing that. He just doesn't always pull
I normally stay away from Stephen King just because I'm a scaredy cat.
Yeah. I mean, he usually is dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does some kind of like life is beautiful type stuff sometimes. Yeah.
And I like a movie that's makes you think. It's a little weird. So you have to just like, you're along for the ride.
Okay. That sounds like a great theater movie.
It was great.
Yeah.
Let's go. And then I cannot believe you weren't there. I'm going to have to ask John who I was with. I know John was there. I thought you were there.
He probably thinks I was there too. Oh, that's really funny.
Are you sure you weren't like Ephraim, like, you love drugs?
I am.
He's sitting there.
Like 99.9% no, positive. No,
you obviously remember everything. What are you into this week?
I'm also into a movie that we did see together.
I was thinking, like, I've seen so many movies, we're doing good. Because normally Ben's the only friend that, like, pushes, like, the group to go to the theater.
Yeah.
And I love going to the theater.
I love a theater experience.
Yeah. Popcorn?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Sneaky snacks in my purse?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Movie.
One battle after another.
That was great.
Fucking fantastic.
I did see that.
So effing good.
That's one where, like, it said before we saw it, it was like the movie of a generation. And I was like, this better not suck. And then we all walked out. We were like, yes!
Yeah, we all walked out like very jazzed.
So pumped.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, Leo DiCaprio, great. This is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. So Paul Thomas Anderson, amazing director. Boogie Nights, There Will Be Blood.
Oh.
Licorice Pizza is another recent one. He did Phantom Thread. All kinds of good stuff. Very good director. One of my favorites. Probably my favorite director. Anyway.
Great script.
Great script. Great characters. Great story. I don't want to give away a whole bunch, but it's kind of like,
you gotta go along for
that. It's definitely
ride.
Like a father-daughter movie for the most part. I would say like there's kind of two movies. Like the first section is pretty like hardcore, kind of dark, kind of like fucked up.
Yeah, like rebels
fighting
the government.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like a America that's been kind of taken over by a fascist.
It's like a dystopian future that's not based in reality at all.
Yeah, that feels... Yeah. Anyway, so there's like a counter-revolutionary group that's doing like violent uprising against the government.
Mm-hmm.
Leo gets involved in that, and then the story picks up like 16 years down the line.
Yeah.
And he's once again kind of on the run from a character in his past.
Yeah. We gotta see it again. It was so good.
And then the first section of the movie is very serious, but once it switches to like the 16 year point, like 16 years in the future, the movie is
hilarious.
It's like very funny from that point in.
It's also like action comedy. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Kind of becomes like a big chase movie at that point. And it's kind of like one continuous chase until the end of the movie.
But like the way it's directed is so smart. Like all the like, you know, I don't know, bait and switch.
Yeah. There's some really great scenes, really great characters. Benicio del Toro, Sensei, amazing.
Just a few little beers.
uh
John Leo's and I, daughter. John and I be saying yeah. that every time we're drinking.
Yeah.
Just a few little beers.
Chase Infinity, I believe, is the name of the girl that plays Leo's daughter in the movie.
Amazing.
She's really awesome. Tiana Taylor, she's also in the movie and gives a fantastic performance. I didn't even know that she was such a great actress, but she's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sean Penn.
I mean, just being very weird.
If you haven't watched the movie, you don't know what I'm doing. But if you have, then that was good.
The memes on that are great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, guys, the movies.
Yeah, go see a fucking movie. Go see it in theaters, too, I would suggest. Like, we need to support this type of stuff so we can keep seeing.
What does Nicole Kidman say? But yeah. Here we are.
Yeah. It's the magic of the theater. What did she say? Yeah. We're here together.
She splashes.
I freaking love with her, that.
With
that
the
commercial.
Louis Vuittons on.
Yeah.
Get out of the puddle with like, your $1,000 shoes.
I'm always like, fuck yeah, Nicole. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Here we are. The magic.
We are.
All right. What's coming up next on Howler Pod?
Top five, baby.
Top five. Here we come.
That's it. That's all she wrote. And then Ben's got a plan. I don't know what it is, but I guess we're going to keep doing stuff.
We're going to keep podcasting.
Oh, wait. Before we go, though.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk.
We have a giveaway. So if you've made it this far and listened to us gab on.
It's a secret giveaway right now on the podcast.
It's a secret giveaway that no one knows about unless you listened. But Del Rey gifted us two of these books. We're going to keep one for ourselves because we're selfish gold pricks. But
huzzah!
Huzzah! This is my book! This smells really good.
Yeah.
Like,
if you've seen those videos, a lot of people have been posting them. The slipcase special edition Red Rising. You can go on our YouTube channel and look it up right now and see pictures of it.
Yes.
And see the
yes.
actual
it's
book.
Del Rey.
It's incredible. It's got a little poster inside.
It is Red Rising, by the way. The
yes.
first book.
The original
of this book
Red
series.
Rising special edition. We will give you one.
Yeah.
And what you have to do
and
is
we'll pay to ship it.
Subscribe to our YouTube
subscribe.
Channel. And comment on one of the videos.
And comment what? Just that's it.
Whatever you want. And then we'll pick our favorite comment.
Yes.
And we'll give that person a slipcase special edition.
Your comment better be how Ben is a stinky bitch for not liking Sevro.
That could be one of our favorites. So we're going to talk about this on this podcast, maybe on the next podcast.
We'll see.
And then we'll do a little post on the actual interwebs to get it out there. But like you can get ahead of the game right now.
And say who the winner is.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
thanks, Del Rey.
Go to YouTube. At HowlerPod.
At HowlerPod.
Subscribe and comment.
Yes. Okay. Do them all. Thanks, Howlers. Special thank you to Miles, our fantastic art buddy. He's our art buddy. Miles at Mbenski Designs. He does the episode art that you've seen on the post. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you want to see the Del Rey book that we received and what you're commenting for, come on YouTube and look at it. Follow us at HowlerPod, Instagram and Facebook, or at HowlerPod Official on TikTok. Email us, howlerpod@gmail.com. Voicemail 1-800-516-1540. Tell a friend about the pod and the books and rate and review us 5 stars only. If you don't give us 5 stars only, then we're going to make you put Sevro low on your list and you're also going to be a stinky bitch.
And you won't win the special edition book.
I mean, you might not even if you give us 5 stars. No guarantees.
Well, you definitely
won't. TM. Okay. Thanks, Howlers.
Omnis Verlupus.
Oh.